Welcome to the Abbot Lou Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
I felt God just say this to me, that this is a time for faith and for rejoicing and celebration. And to rejoice, to declare, and celebrate in faith. And then I saw the Lord just bring to my mind the story of Joshua when they first enter into Jericho, and they go right up to the wall, and they're in silence for days, and they encircle it. But right before the walls come down, God instructs them to shout and to rejoice and to celebrate. And this is so awesome because, and I'm not saying that this is what the Bible says, but this is what the Lord was speaking to me about this story. You with me? Is that God was telling me this, that in Jesus, because the victory is in Him, that we're called to actually celebrate and rejoice before we even see the breakthrough and the walls come down. So, come on. That's really good. That's not me. I'm not saying I'm really good. I'm saying God is really good. That was ministering to me today. That God has called us to a season of rejoicing and celebrating in the victory that is Jesus. See, they did not, it was very evident and clear. The way that they took ground in the Old Testament, that every single miracle, we've been teaching out of the story of Gideon and how God, in His sovereignty, He reduced Gideon's army to prove that He was God and that the victory was in Him, not in their army and what they could do. Joshua at Jericho, he wanted to prove to the army of Israel and to the entire nation. Look, this put fear in everybody in the entire nation that was there when they walk around the building and they rejoice, and then the walls come down, and the victory is God's, not Joshua's. Come on. That says that we have a living God. And can you imagine being all the other Canaanites and Hizzites and Bizzites and Jebusites and whoever-ites were out there, right? I don't know why they all kept getting other ite names. They could have got more creative and like got some other kind of thing going on, but no. It's like, ite, that sounds great. Let's just improvise. What do you want to be? Well, I'll just be a stupid ite, you know. Can you imagine if you were like the next town over? Would you find out that the victory wasn't in Joshua's sword and the strength of his army, but the victory was in a God you don't even know? You'd be packing your gear and saying, I'm going to find another place. Listen, we live with a God who has made His home inside of us. And He said, look, I am King Jesus, and I am victorious in you. And the victory is in me, and now I'm in you. Let's do this thing. Come on. All of our circumstances, everything that's in front of us right now, in your life, in my life, as a church, look, we're looking at all kinds of things throughout different spheres of our life, right? There's all kinds of different, you know, concentric circles of our life that affect one another and overlap with one another, and then some of those are isolated. We feel like just with us on our own, like some of our own personal struggles. But then, you know, we look at our corporate struggles, or struggles even as a nation together, when we're like, oh God, not four more years. Give me something else, right? Are you with me? Yeah. Then our building collapses and we're all in that together. And somebody decides they're going to do something else. And, you know, it affects all of us. The shootings in Colorado, those overlap in our life. Right? I don't know about you, but I haven't gone to see Batman Begins yet. It kind of freaked me out. I really want to see it.
It's rising.
he's rising. Oh, Batman Rises. I'm sorry, I forgot the name. You can get Batman Begins anywhere you want. Sorry, okay. Like that kind of stuff, it affects us all, right? But in each one of our lives right now, I believe God is saying, like, blow the trumpet of rejoicing now. And expect the victory, not because you did something special, not because it was in you, but because it is in Jesus. The victory is truly in Him. Are you with me? Come on. Can we pray? Can we just rejoice in Him? Can we just thank Him for that? Lord, we just thank You that You, King Jesus, You are the victory. That our victory is in You. It's in what You have already done. And we're more than conquerors in that. It is finished, You said on the cross. It is finished. And Lord, You've called us to walk out Your victory. What an awesome thing to do. Like the Israelites, Lord, that were just walking into the promise and it was done for them, and all they had to do was stand in faith and rejoice and celebrate and go forward into the promise that You had given them. God, we today step into the promise that You've given us. God, we step King Jesus into Your destiny for us as a church and us as individuals and us as a nation. We declare and celebrate. We rejoice. The victory is You. It is in You. And we celebrate and we rejoice, God, that You are King. You are victor over our nation and our world and our state and our city and our church and our lives. You're victor over my health. You're victor over my relational struggles and my discouragement and my loneliness. You're the victory over my sin and my own failures. And You are the victory over my success. There is nothing outside of You. Jesus, You are God. You are Lord. Lord, right now we dismantle every idol in our life, God. We just proclaim it, even if it's not physically possible for us to do something like that. But God, we just declare that every idol will be dismantled in our life. That You will become King. You will become our idol of worship. Our eyes will be singularly on You, Jesus. God, we just rejoice in what You have already done. And we celebrate in the victories that we're going to walk into in You and that we're going to see. And God, we commit today that we're going to celebrate them with great rejoicing. We're not going to hold back. We're going to celebrate You with everybody. And we're going to give the testimony of what You are doing throughout all the spheres of our life. We're going to rejoice in Your victory in Jesus' name. Come on. Can you do that? Can you rejoice in His victory even before it happens? Can you actually declare it by rejoicing in it? Can you do that? Man, it comes back to, I just felt God, I didn't actually build my message around this diagram or this, whatever it is, prop. Bulletin board, crafty thing. I didn't build my message around it, but I felt the Lord just tell me to bring it. And the title of my message is Trusting in the Power of God. Trusting in the Power of God. And even all of the things I was just talking about, when we celebrate and rejoice and we understand who the God is that we really serve, then we can move away from all of these, especially the fundamental thing that draws us away and keeps us and holds us back, the barrier from allowing us to step forward and move in faith and action in the kingdom. And what God is calling us to is fear. We get afraid. And that's a barrier from us to trust God. And so many times we just get trapped right here. Right? But God is asking us to turn, like I said last time I was preaching, the dial of our heart to trust. Turn the dial of our heart to trust. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. You know, today I believe God wants us to learn how to never be disillusioned by our circumstances again. That also, to not be worried that we'll miss the will of God and stand in confident in faith that we are right where he wants us to be. Exactly where he wants us. Even in our mistakes, that we can learn to trust that we are right exactly where God wants us, and we can't and we're not missing the will of God. And I believe that today, God wants to help give us a peace, to help us from walking in doubt, to overcome doubt and begin to walk in faith and be able to trust him more. So Philippians 1:6, and this is one of the reasons why I believe that we can live this way, is because the Bible says that I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus returns. We serve. This is why I think you can walk in faith and not doubt. This is why I think you can trust that even when there are circumstances that are overwhelming, that you can trust in the power of our God. And begin to rejoice even before you see the victory, because you know who your God is. And your victory is not in what you do, but it's in the God you serve. Yeah. Yeah. That your trust is in the power of God, in the nature of God, in who he really is. And see, when we stand in faith, we begin to see God expose his nature and expose who he really is. Right? That's so awesome. Have you ever felt like you were given a great responsibility? And that when you're given a great responsibility, that you ever feel this? Like all of a sudden, now you have to know everything that you feel like you need to know to do that responsibility? I felt this when I became a youth pastor. I was like, I come off an oil rig, right? I spent lots of time with kids, and I've always been good with young people, and I was pretty young when I became a youth pastor. But I remember when I came into that spot thinking, oh my goodness, there's so much I don't know. And it's kind of like I had this expectation, and maybe even other people around me all of a sudden had this expectation that I'm supposed to know everything about being a great youth pastor. And I didn't know squat about that. If really, Pastor Rick knows. He's like, well, I see the potential in that young guy. I felt the same thing when I became the senior pastor of this church. Come on, if you've never done that, there's a lot you don't know. And there's even more you don't know you don't know. You think you know what you don't know, but you don't know what you don't know. And then all of a sudden, you know. And you're like, oh no, I wish I didn't know. I remember one time I was working at the Home Depot, and I had this wild hair that I had to get promoted so that I could manage my own schedule. How naive I was. Because I didn't know what I didn't know. And then I went into my boss's, the store manager's office every day for 2.5 months. And just bothered him like that person outside the door, the woman asking for bread or the dude outside asking for bread. What is that? I can't remember. She's knocking on the door. He's just knocking on the door asking for bread. And finally they come out not because he really cares about him, but because they just want you to go away. I guess it's the woman with the judge and the guy with the bread, right? Okay, whatever. All right. Details. So the point is not about who was asking for what. It's that they didn't give up. And so the guy promotes me. And I'm a manager like at 3 months when I finish my probation period. He makes me a manager. And oh, my word. Did I ever get suckered into something. The amount of responsibilities that I all of a sudden had that I knew nothing about. I felt like being a manager of people that all of a sudden this thing that I had to know everything. And you know, when God asks us to take a step forward, right? To take a leap, when we've been faithful with little, Matthew 25:25, we just referenced the parable of the talents, right? Where he says that those who have been faithful with little, he will put them over much or even more. So when you've been faithful with something, God all of a sudden gives you more. And in the passage, he actually doubles it. He doubles it. There's no way you know what to do with the doubling. You don't know once he does it, but God, see, look, this isn't about how good we are. It's about how good God is.
Amen.
It's about trusting in the power of our God, not in our self-reliance. And what we can do in ourself or our self-interest or self-preservation or selfishness. But it's not in trusting in our own abilities and our own strength. When I became the senior pastor of this church, I didn't take this role because I thought that I could do it. I didn't. I took it because I trusted that God, if God wanted me to, like Gideon, if God chose Gideon, if God chose Joshua, if God chose Moses who couldn't speak, he was going to deliver the Egyptians by talking to the Pharaoh. He's like, I can't do that. He didn't do it because he thought he could do it in himself. He did it because he trusted the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He trusted God in who God was. Proverbs 3:5, right? Let's just jump right there. Proverbs 3:5 says what? We were just reading it earlier. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Amplified Bible and the American, NASB, New American Standard Bible, right? I got it. It says, they both say basically this. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight and understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him. In all your ways, know him. In all your ways, recognize him, right? And acknowledge him. So many times I think we miss these steps. We miss these steps. We just go, oh, yeah, God, we trust you. Well, bless God. Trust him. Or something happens, and we just don't acknowledge him. We don't give glory to him. We don't acknowledge that he's God, that he did it. That the victory was in him and not in what we did and not in something outside us, outside of our world or our spheres coming in to rescue us or save us. No, God wants to be the rescuer. God is the rescuer. God wants to be the healer. He wants to be the deliverer in your life. He wants to be the provider in your life. He doesn't want us to be looking to other things, but he wants us to give him the acknowledgement. He wants us to know him. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him. And he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. This is the key. This is a key in our life to trusting God, to living out our lives in the perfect will of God, in his sovereign will, is trusting that he is sovereign. That he is God and that his power is absolutely and totally big enough to straighten out all of our messed up lives and all of our mistakes. So many times in our life, like, I wish I had a giant coil right now. I'm probably going to re-preach this and I'm going to do this. But if I had like a coil and I took it and I squished it down and it just made this big, like, going all over the place, right? Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Just imagine it. Yep. You with me?
Yep.
The younger we are, and the less perspective we have, like the smaller perspective that we have, then the more squished up that coil of our life is. And if that whole coil represented like our entire life and the sovereign plan that God has for us, that when we shorten that thing, it like spreads out. And every mistake that we make, it feels like these giant radical swings in our life that are throwing us off of the will of God. We're like, how are we ever going to recover from this? Right? The older we get and the greater perspective we get, God, the more time and experience that we have, God begins to stretch that coil out. And the longer it gets, the straighter it gets. The older we are, like Pastor Dick, Pastor Rick. Some of y'all have been around for a long time. You've been through the church split. You've been through people leaving, coming and going. You've been through hard times. You've been through all kinds of different kinds of presidents, right? You're like, well, oh no, Obama. Ah. It's like, well, we had Richard Nixon. Survived that. Right? Some young people are like, who's Nixon, right? Time stretches out those the radical like swaying and pushing of our life. And if we can wear that season of last, that lens where we put on the lens where we could actually get a perspective from the vantage point of someone who has lots of experience in time and just call that wisdom and God's perspective. Say, God, give me your perspective that nothing shakes you, nothing sways you. When Joseph ended up in the pit, that didn't sway God. When Joseph was at Potiphar's house and then in prison, it didn't sway God. Come on. God has this perspective that he's God. Yeah. He has this crazy idea that he's in charge. Yeah. He has this crazy, amazing idea that he's all powerful, unstoppable, unchangeable. Yeah. Never stops going in the same direction. Nothing can stop him. Yeah. He has this crazy idea. He wishes we'd get that idea. Yeah. Say, well, you, well, Mayor, I really think God might be God. Yeah. And if he is, doggone it, then he might actually be able to do whatever he wants. And if we trust in him, he might be able to straighten out that path. But it's trusting in the power of God, not in us, our circumstances, our self-reliance. Come on, church. That's good preaching right there. James says that those who ask for wisdom, God will pour it out liberally. Literally without measure. Literally without measure, God will pour out wisdom. If you want this perspective about God being God, and able to do anything, unstoppable, unchangeable. Look, you begin to trust in that. That when you walk in the promised land like Joshua did, you can begin to celebrate before you even see your enemy because the victory is in your God and his sovereign plan for you. So when you make a mistake in your life or you get a new responsibility in your life, right? And you feel like the pressure that, oh no, I have this new responsibility. I'm a manager now. You know, I'm a manager of my bank, or I'm the pastor of a church, or now I'm called to be a worship leader, or I'm running a ministry, or whatever it is that God all of a sudden asks of you because you've been faithful. He gives you double the responsibility now, and you're like, what am I going to do? And you feel the pressure that you have to make up stuff. And pretend like you're something you're not yet. And just like, just pretend. You can lean and trust in your God and say, God, if you wanted me to be the pastor of this church at 30 years old, then I got to trust that in that, in my lack, in what I'm not yet, in what I don't know yet, God, your grace, your power is sufficient to move us forward into the destiny that you have. And I'm not wavering. I'm not doubting. I'm trusting in you and what you decided you're going to do. Amen. Right? Man, if like Pastor Rick and Dolores, they're like, we're going to trust God to step out of something we did for 30 years, you know, and total security to give it over to some young guy who's 30 years old. That took a lot of faith and trust. Yes, it did. She gets her hanky out. Say amen, brother. Amen. I know it did, girl. Heck, that'd scare me too. Am I talking real right now? You guys with me? This is life. We're always, the more faithful you are, the more God challenges you. The more responsibility he gives you. Because the more he wants to do through you, the more he wants you to see how good he is, how awesome he is. He wants you to experience his victory in this world. He has the victory. It's already done. So you get to participate in it or not. Your choice. The harvest is coming. The harvesters will work. Disciplers will be discipling and they'll be made. It's going to happen. I trust God. Not because of me. Not because of you. Because of him. Will you come, Scott? When you make a mistake, when you make a mistake in your life, you don't have to have this radical perspective that you make this mistake and it jerks you out of God's sovereign will for you. You and I can trust, actually, that Jesus actually did everything right. He did everything right so that he can empower us to make it right. Do you know what I'm saying? Listen, you don't have to do everything right. God knew that you couldn't do it right. And so he did everything just right so that he can empower you and I to be able to stay on that sovereign plan that God has for us through his blood, through his sacrifice, through what he did, through his grace, his mercy, his power. So you don't have to do it all right. God wants you to live right, but then he gave you the ability inside of what he did to make it right. And so when you make a mistake, you can always know you'll be in God's sovereign plan and in his will for your life if you just take your heart and your life and you always live in humility and repentance. And you always take, through the power of what Jesus did, the ability to make it right. You with me? And God is the redeemer of mistakes, the redeemer of time, the redeemer of broken relationships, the reconciler of broken relationships. There's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing he can't overcome. Nothing he hasn't already overcome. And when we learn to trust in him, we trust in the victory of who Jesus is. Who he is, what he has done. Can I really encourage you to not get so down on yourself when you make a mistake? Can I encourage you to just cut yourself some slack? Jesus cut you a lot of slack. He actually cut you, he cared about you so much that he spilt his blood. He lived a perfect life so that you didn't have to pay the price for your sin. The wages of sin is death, is what the Bible says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that's beautiful. That's good news. This is why you hear in the gospel it says, we're going to share the good news. The good news is that we were broken and sinful and lost and dying and going to hell, destined for hell. But Jesus, in his kindness, in his love, in his ever love, pursuing love for us, came and paid the price for that sin. He made it right. He made straight our path. Because he knew in our mistakes that would create this separation between him, between us and the Father. So he took himself and he hung himself on a cross. He lived that perfect life and hung himself on the cross. And he created a new covenant, a new relationship with his people through his blood. That when we blow it, it's made right in Jesus. So beautiful. He knew you before you were made. He knew you in his mind's eye. He had you in his heart before you even were born. And he died for you there. He lived and he died for you there. That you could trust in him and he would make straight your path. Will you stand with me? You don't have to know everything. You don't have to do everything right. You don't have to know everything. All you have to do is know the one who does. Right? You don't have to know everything. You can take on greater responsibilities in your life. You can trust God when you don't have the ability in you. When God asks you to do something and step out, you don't have to know everything. You just have to know the one who does and acknowledge him. Trust him. Acknowledge him. And he directs that, makes that path straight. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:4, but God is so rich in his mercy and his love, and he loved us so very much that even while we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And it's only because of God's special favor that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and we are seated with him in heavenly realms, all because we are one with Christ Jesus. And so God can always point to us as an example of the incredible wealth of his favor and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, God saved you by his special favor when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things that he planned for us long ago. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, look, Jesus designed you to be his masterpiece. And he designed you for this relationship. And you might say, you know what? I'm too messed up. I've done too much. God wouldn't forgive me. God wouldn't forgive someone like me. He wouldn't want someone like me. That's not true. It says that before you were made, he designed you as his masterpiece. Oh, he loved you. He designed you for a relationship with him. And it's not by the good things that you've done. It's by what he did for you. The Bible says, for we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Right? Romans 3:24 says, yet now God in his gracious kindness declares us not guilty. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sin. For God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sin and to satisfy God's anger against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. God was being eternally fair when he did not punish those who sinned in their former lives. And he is eternally fair and just in this present time when he declares sinners to be right in his sight because they believe in Jesus. Not because of what they have done, but because they believe in Jesus. Who are we to say that God shouldn't save us because he's so good? If you're saying that to yourself, that God shouldn't save me because I'm too bad, listen, who are you to say who should save you? Who are you to say that? Only God is the one who can say who he should save or not. Only God is the one who says what is valuable and determines what is valuable is valuable. Bible says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus really died for us, then we will be saved. That he really is Lord, then we will be saved.